Thank you, church. You can be seated. Yes, first off, I want to thank Brother Grissom, Brother Hart, for tutoring me, mentoring me. I wouldn't be standing here if it weren't for Brother Grissom. He's really put a lot into me. Most of that I was probably unworthy of, but I'm trying to work up to it. Just on a side note, Brother Hart almost preached tonight. My wife, I talked to her on the phone today. I was sitting on my horse, climbed off my horse, called her on the cell phone, and she said, you know, I had the funniest dream. I was just wondering if you were still preaching tonight. And I said, yeah, I'm going to at least try. And she says, well, I had this funny dream that Brother Hart was preaching. I said, well, I don't know what that means, but okay. So we finished the conversation, and I went to get up on my horse. And when I went to get up on my horse, if you've ever ridden a horse, there's a little skip step in there when you put your foot up in the stirrup to where you got to hop to get up there. When I went to take the hop, the horse stepped on my foot that was on the ground and bolted sideways and knocked me completely under him. I got to look at the underside of the horse, which you never want to see. And I thought right then and there, as I was looking up at the horse and the horse was looking down at me, I was like, I hope he's got a good one. Because Brother Hart's preaching. But the Lord brought me out of it. He made a believer of me that he can fix all situations, because it got pretty ugly. So tonight, if you would, if you turn to your Bibles, Book of Revelation, 2nd chapter, the 4th verse. It says there, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Right. Brother Grissom, would you bless him with the message?
God, we ask your blessing upon this message tonight, upon us, your ears. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit was saying to church tonight. Give liberty to your messenger who brings forth your word. And give us, O God, faith to hear, faith to receive.
Thank you, sir. I guess if I could title this message with anything, it would be The First Love. I'm sorry, y'all can be seated. I'm new to this. Y'all just do what y'all do, and I'm going to do what I do, and we'll get through this, okay? So, anyway, Saturday we got a chance. Of course, I knew I was going to be preaching today, and I had this humdinger planned out. It was a great lesson. And then we were sitting there, and I was listening to Brother Spears give his testimony, and it just hit me. For some reason, this came to me, and I had to do quite a bit of looking. Because I'm still trying to learn all of this. But if you look at that verse, the word love, it's not love of any other sort. Because my question was, how could it be your love if you left it? Surely you wouldn't leave something that you love just for something that you like. So I started digging. It really gave me trouble. So I looked it up, and I had to go to the bookstore and get some resources, and I finally figured it out. This word love is from a Hebrew word, abigail. Did I pronounce that right? It's got the little things over it, so I'm going with it. That comes from two different words. Abby, which is where you get Abba, father. Abby is father. And Gael, which means joy or gladness, to rejoice. So God in this is saying, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou has left thy first love, your father's joy, your father's gladness, gladness of your father, gladness in the father. So, I know I'm going on a tangent here, but this reminded me of a story, and I'm going to share this story with you. I hope that it blesses you as much as it blesses me, just in the telling. This story I want to call the Pentecostal boy. This Pentecostal boy, his first memories were in a church in a little town called Wascom, Texas. I don't know if anybody in here knows where Wascom, Texas is, but Wascom is on the border of Louisiana and Texas. This little boy at the age of 5 years old sat on a bench up here on the platform with a little guitar right beside the pastor. And he'd play his little heart out. And he would listen to the preaching just like every other day. This little guy had an anointing, an amazing anointing. The first time, almost all of his first memories were, the first time he ever rode a bike at night was to church. His first girlfriend, all of it revolved around church. As a matter of fact, some of the most amazing things in his life happened around this church. So this little boy loved the church. This little boy lived for the church. He played in the church parking lot. When nobody was there, he lived down the street. He would ride by the church just to see who was there. This little boy loved the church. Not only did this little boy love the church, but this little boy loved what it was about the church. Somehow this little guy could figure out at 5 and 6 years old what it was. What it was. And it was this amazing pull in his life. This calling, this love for what was going on, this absoluteness to be there in what was going on when God was moving. This little guy could feel it. This little guy was sensitive. He got his first convert in his first sermon in second grade on the playground, and he wasn't even talking to the second graders. This little guy started preaching a message about repentance. This little guy started preaching a message about Acts 2:38. He started preaching about the power of God, the things that God could do in his life. But what he didn't know was the fence, this hurricane fence that he was talking to, there was somebody on the other side. See, there were some apartments over there. And in these apartments, these weren't the best apartments. They were where you built the school, and you build the school where it's cheap. So in this apartment, there was a bunch of guys standing around, and one of them heard this little crazy kid. This little crazy kid is just preaching his heart out to the fence, and guess what happens? He gets pricked in his heart, and he thinks, I used to be saved. As a matter of fact, I prayed through, and this little kid's preaching everything that I heard. He pours his beer out, and he goes home. He can't stay at the party. First convert, second grade. Soon after that, though, some things happened. Gets with the wrong friends. They influence him the wrong way. This little boy who got his first convert in second grade took his first drink of alcohol in sixth grade. Because what happened is those influences started to creep in. He started to look outside of his first love. He started to look away. Maybe he started looking through that fence over there and seeing that other life that he was preaching to. And that started looking pretty good. first high on marijuana was 8th grade. By 10th grade, he was snorting cocaine. Promiscuity, all of that went with it. At 18 years old, he had his first child. Tried to settle down, tried to do it without God. Marriage, military career gone. At 20 years old, this little guy ended up homeless, and he was a drug seeker for over a year. A drug seeker is anyone who will do a drug any way that you possibly could want to. Smoke it, inject it, snort it, just be by it. You see, his first love had been replaced. His first love, he had gotten away from. 17 years. 17 years. 17 years of looking for another high. 17 years of going wherever to do anything that he had to do to get that next high. Two marriages, three kids. Here this little guy is, and the drugs aren't working anymore. The life ain't working anymore. His marriage is going downhill, and here he is standing in the middle of a neighborhood screaming to heaven, God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be everything that I said that I was going to be. I'm going to make $1 million. I'm going to be happy. And it's going to be wonderful. And nobody can take that away from me because I'll get everything that I love. Everything that I love. I can get it. I can do it. 17 years. 17 years of everything stacking up on him. But then one day, God sent a messenger. Then one day, God sent a messenger, and here this little boy is sitting on a mobile home lot with a joint in his pocket, trying to make a sale so that he can live one more day in the life. And who steps out but a Pentecostal preacher? Let me tell you, church, I don't know if you figured it out or not, but for 17 years, I waited on my first love to come back. For 17 years, I was away from it. And because God sent a messenger, God sent one man to come and talk to me. He thought he was buying a mobile home, but what he ended up doing was bringing me my first love. Let me tell you something, church. It's about your first love. I don't know where you are. I don't know where you are in your walk with God. You could be a saint for 40 years, or you could be a saint for one day. You could be on your way to being a saint and not even know it. But let me tell you something. If you don't have that first love is in there. That first love is that Father's love. That first love is everything that you could possibly imagine. You see, when that Pentecostal preacher walked on that lot, there was a feeling that hit me. And I'm going to tell you, it's a feeling that I had when I was in second grade, when I was standing on that play yard, and I was preaching at that fence. It was God's love. It was everything. It was that warmth. It was that feeling. It was that fullness that only God can give. And let me tell you something. There's nothing else out there. I'm telling you right now. I could be preaching at the floor. I could be preaching at somebody. I don't know. I'm telling you. Maybe this is just for me, but I'm telling you right now. That is what it's all about. When I was reminded of this, it absolutely floored me. I couldn't imagine that I had ever gotten away from it. Imagine this one thing that means everything to you, and you absolutely positively couldn't get along without it, and now it's been stripped from you. It's that driving in your car, all of a sudden have to pull over and spend a minute with God. Saints, I know you felt it. And I'm telling you, until you felt it, there is nothing. Nobody can take it away from you. Nobody can ever tell you that it's wrong, that it's not good, or that it doesn't exist. Let me tell you, it's there. It's everything that it should be, and everything in your life is as it should be, that one little point, and it's there. I come back to my story, and that's this. The Father who loved me, who was with me through all of this, the Father who allowed me to go through all of this, was the same Father who redeemed me from it. This is the same Father who had enough love to not run me over with it, but just embrace me with it when I got there. You see, it's the most amazing thing to run into that. I don't know where you are. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why I felt led to preach this. Maybe it was just for me, but I can tell you this right now. That love is there. Don't ever look away from it. Don't ever put your eye on something else. Don't ever look across. And if you do, understand this. God is still there. He's always been there. He's the same God that was there when you first got it. He's the same God that it's always been. And all you got to do is just go back and say, you know what? I love it. I got to have it. I need it. I can't live without it. Sister Dana, if you want to go ahead and come. Seventeen years. It wasn't all out in the world. God always managed to show up just in time. I remember telling people this, and I'm so ashamed that I would even say this, but I used to tell people when I would do something crazy or outlandish, run a car through a brick wall, I would tell people, I'm charmed. Nothing's gonna kill me because something out there has a purpose for me. You see, as far down in the hole as I got, I still had that feeling. How do you know that your Father loves you? How do you know when someone loves you? Is it there? Well, in this instance, I can tell you yes. You never get out from under it. You never get away from it. It's always there. No matter where you stand, it's always there. I don't have an explanation of why I spent 17 years in the world. I don't know why it took me 17 years to get here other than God allowed me to live through some things. But I can tell you, every day I see people who aren't as fortunate as I was. I go to a place where people have been in the same situations I was in, or even worse, and they've got dealt a horrible hand because they didn't have that. Because they didn't have that extra little something. Don't have that something, or if you've been missing that little something, this is where you get it. See, it wasn't until I fell on my face in a Pentecostal altar that I actually got that first love back. You see, what I didn't tell you about that is that God forgave me. God loved me enough to say, that's all right. He washed it all in the blood because He said He would. You see, in the fifth verse, He says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. Repent and do the first works. Come back and do the first works. Do those things. Come back and love me. That's basically what it is. What are the first works? Come back and love me. This is where you do it. Saints,
take me back.
I think this is a good time for everybody that would come down and renew that first love. First love, if you've never experienced that first love,